Give God the glory this morning.
I love you.
what a day that'll be. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. It's so sweet. Trust Him today.
It was my cross you bore, so I could
on, somebody give God the glory tonight. Isn't he worthy of our praise?
It truly is an honor to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm thankful that you've all made the conscious decision to be here to worship Jesus Christ, because worthy is his name. Amen. He is worthy of our praise, and we have sung praises to him. And now it's time to go into his word and continue to worship him in his word. Turn with me, if you haven't already, to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. We're going to be on two verses today, Lord willing, verses 12 and 13, as Matthew read for us earlier. A few weeks ago, I traveled to Mississippi to do a little preaching, do a little storytelling, and the way those things go, afterwards, we usually stand around for a few minutes and just talk to people. And I was standing there, and I just felt this presence beside me. Y'all ever been standing somewhere and just feel a presence? Well, I looked over, and right beside me was this mammoth of a human being. I'm talking about, it was a man standing beside me. And I said, "You a big old boy." And he just looked at me, he just kind of laughed. I said, "You don't work out, do you?" To which I think that may have insulted him a little bit. He definitely worked out. It looked like he never failed to work out, is what it looked like. And what I got to thinking about is, man, I used to be pretty big. I used to have some size on me. So what was the difference between me and this gentleman, this mammoth that was standing beside me? The difference was, is he was still working out, and I ain't. And there was an obvious divide between this man and me. You can tell when somebody has been working out, and you can tell when they have not been. How? Because working out makes a difference, not only in your functionality, but it makes a difference in your physical appearance as well. Did you know, as Christians, that we're supposed to be working out? Now, this is not a promotion for you to go to hometown gym after this and get you a physical workout program. I'm talking about your spiritual workout. We're commanded to work out our salvation. Not recommended, commanded. This is not the same thing as earning your salvation. Can I be clear with everybody real quick? Can I get some head nods to hear what I... This is not about earning your salvation. Working out your salvation and earning your salvation are two different things. And today, nothing I say is promoting that you can earn your salvation, okay? Just want to be clear. Please do not come up to me after this and say, "Well, I can't believe you talked about earning your salvation today. I won't be able to take it." I'm just going to tell you. Because that's not what we're talking about. Today, if you're one of those people and you've not been working out your salvation, yet you are a believer in Christ, there's hope. Today, I want you to see the commandment that lays on this page very clearly. I want you to get God's plan today for working out your salvation. And I want you to start today, this moment, if you haven't, if you didn't know, I want you to start working out your salvation through the power of God that he's given you. And if today you've never heard of working out your salvation, you didn't know there was such a thing as working out your salvation, but it's something you're thinking, "Man, I think I need to start doing that." Well, let me just tell you one other thing. You cannot work out your salvation without the help of God. And the only way you can have the help of God is through his son, Jesus Christ. And how do you have the help of Jesus Christ, his son? Through faith and belief and confession in him. Amen. So that's where it all starts. If you're not a believer today, if you've never placed your faith, you've never believed, you've never confessed, then this working out the salvation is out of your reach. You can't do it because you've got to have God to do it. Okay? We're all on the same page? And guess what? Here's some encouragement. You know I'm working on this in my personal life. Encouragement. We're going to be fine, Christians. We're going to be fine. You know why? Because God's going to do more than his share of the work. Amen. Okay? So hang in there with me. Let's get started. If we're going to work out our salvation, we need to work out our salvation with continual obedience. Let's look at verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation. Paul says, as you have always obeyed. Man, that's encouragement. They've got a history. This isn't day one. These Philippians have been obeying. They're not starting from scratch. And what this is, when they're obeying with him, they're obeying without him, that means they have integrity. Y'all are all familiar with that word, integrity. What does it mean? It's doing the right thing, even when no one is watching. Paul notes that they have obeyed when no one was watching. Let me share with you one of my very first lessons on the importance of integrity. School was always important when I was growing up. My mom and dad said it was important, do the work, make the good grades, always bring your paperwork home so that we can see it and make sure that everybody's on the right page. Well, in second grade, I had not studied for a test, and I know that's a long time ago, but I remember this vividly because it is well positioned in my brain. I had made an F on one of my papers. F for failure. That's not good. That was not celebrated in my household. Well, and I was pouring over it all the way home because I was a little compliant little booger, and I had that thing in my backpack just like Mama told me to do, and I was going to bring it home, and I was on the school bus, and it was wearing me out because I knew I was going to, there was going to be some things, you know, said and done because of this grade, rightfully so. Well, the thought hit me before I got to my mama's house, which is where I got off the school bus. You ain't got to show this to your mother. Eureka! That is brilliant. I never thought about this. She told me I needed to, but I don't have to. She doesn't know that this has happened. So I said, well, how am I going to get rid of this thing? I can't just throw it in the garbage can. I said, well, there's some big old holly bushes right there around your mama's house that you might could hide in real quick and tear that paper up and just, I said, that's what I'm going to do. But, buddy, I ran up that hill because I knew Mama could hear that bus running. She knew about how long it took me to walk up the hill to her house. So I sprinted up that hill, and I climbed in that holly bush right in the corner of the house, and I went to tearing up that paper, buddy. I was getting it in little bitty shreds, and I got it, and I had a little, and I just threw it down right there, run out of the holly bush and went in the house. Mama's like, what are you doing? Just getting home from school, you know? Oh, yeah, really? Yes, ma'am. She didn't say a word. When I got home to my house a little bit later, Mom said, hey, is this all your schoolwork from today? I should have known. I said, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's all of it. There wasn't anything else. Mm-mm. What about this? You see, my mama and my aunt were watching the whole thing in the window that is positioned right above the place where I was tearing up that little piece of paper. What did I fail to have in that moment? Integrity. And I paid for it. But I remember now, and I try to have a little more integrity in my life. It was a teaching moment. How much integrity do you have with Jesus Christ, with what he's called you to do? Or are you got your little holly bush that you like to run and tear your little pieces of paper up and hide them like nobody's going to see you? You see, it ain't just me. I told you the story about me, but it's really a story about all of us. The standard of our integrity and obedience, it's continual, not spotty, not sometimes, always continuous. That's the standard. Work out your salvation. Let's take just a moment. I'm not going to try to take y'all to seminary, but we got some definitions here. So just hang. Don't go to sleep. Don't leave me. Here, we got some definitions we need to work through real quick. I'm going to go quickly. Salvation. The word salvation means deliverance from sin and death, and we only get it by the reception of the blood of Jesus Christ that he provided for us on the cross. Okay? That's salvation, receiving Jesus' blood, having that forgiveness. Okay? Salvation, as we talked about earlier, is a gift. It's not earned. We receive it through belief and faith and confession in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not works. And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So we're going to further exemplify what I told you. It's not by works. It's a gift of God. We receive it by grace through faith. Okay? Now let's discuss sanctification. That's a different word with a different meaning. Sanctification is separation. Separation, a division, a gap of a believer from evil. Sanctification. Separation from evil. Now, progressive sanctification. The gradual departure of the people of God from the world. Y'all realize we're not supposed to be part of the world, right? So as we progress in our sanctification, we should be like a ship that has just left a dock. And the dock would be the world, and we're floating further and further and further and further away from the world. And it's a process. And it's a process that God helps us with. Sanctification. Okay? Enough about seminary. Working out your salvation doesn't mean earning it. It means showing it. Exemplifying it. It's living out what God has already worked inside. God started it. He started a good work in us. He put it inside. And so all this is it coming out. It is showing what God has done is coming out for others to see it. Paul is actively working, but the power of God all the time is working within. You see, these two things are both happening. It's God is working, but we also have a responsibility. Now, how those two things come together, I'm not smart enough to figure that out. I'm just going to tell you in front of everybody. I don't know how that works, but they do work. God works, and we're also responsible to work. Colossians 1:29. If you don't believe that we're supposed to be working, here it is. This is Paul, same writer, Colossians 1:29. For this purpose, I labor. He says, for this purpose, I work, striving. That's also another verb that he's doing, striving, but according to his power, to God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit. They're both working simultaneously, which mightily works within me. So obedience is not earning God's favor. It's expressing the life that he has given us. I lived much of my life, an embarrassing amount of my life, under conviction, yet still not obeying God who was convicting me. I had no interest in working out my salvation. I venture to say, though, that some of you today are exactly in the same spot that I was in 20 years ago. You're right there. You're under conviction. You're a believer. But there's nothing about you right now that is seeking to work out your salvation. To strive. To labor through the power of God. For some believers today, the only time you give attention to Jesus is 1 hour on Sunday. You don't think about him any other time. Think about his word. Think about praying to him. Nothing, because the world and the enemy has got you so blinded and so captivated that you don't even have any bandwidth for it. I'm not coming down on you, but it ain't good. I've been that person. I've lived that life. And it's not the life that God has made possible for you. When you're in that life, you only obey when people are watching. When people are around. Well, I can't act like that. I can't go there because I might see my Christian friends. I might see my church members if we go over there. And the only reason you ain't going is because you're scared somebody here on earth may see you and judge you. Let me tell you who sees you all the time. The only one that matters sees you all the time. That should be our focus, not whether I see you at a certain place or hear you having a certain conversation. I'm irrelevant. I appreciate the respect, but I'm not the judge. God is the judge, and He's the one that's always watching and listening. He's the one that deserves the glory, and we should be living in such a way, working out our salvation so that He's glorified. In that lifestyle, you regularly disobey the leading and conviction of the Lord. I remember it well. I had gotten so good at suppressing conviction that I was comfortable with it. I got to where it almost didn't even bother me anymore. You can get there. Some of you may be there today. It's time to leave. God deserves better. His blood has paid for you to not live that way, to escape that lifestyle, so escape it through His power. Work out your salvation. Think about it like this. If you owned a business, I'm going to get in your pocketbook because that usually makes everybody think. Let's get in your pocketbook for a minute. Let's say you had a business, okay, and you had a full-time employee and you hired them up and you talked to them, here we are, you're working for my company today, and that full-time employee showed up 1 hour a week to work for you. Here I am, boss. They never made an investment into the company. They never cared about their work while they were there. They never showed any appreciation for the employment. They never once cared about the expectations that you had clearly set. What are you going to do with that employee? How are you going to treat them? Is it time for a raise? Promotion? You're going to fire them. That's what you're going to do. You're going to get rid of them and be happy that you did. Some of us, that's how you are that employee for the kingdom of God. But we expect blessings. We expect God to be proud of us. That's just not, that thinking ain't going to work. Now, you're not earning it, and you're not an employee. You're saved by grace, but just think about how are you performing? How are you working out your salvation to God? And would you be proud of it if somebody was doing it for you? Bottom line is this, God deserves better. Continual obedience to God's commands will prevent us from becoming that employee spiritually. We need to obey immediately when we're prompted. We need to stay faithful in the small things. See, I'm guilty of thinking everything that God is calling me to do is some grandiose little thing. We talked about it in Sunday school. Sometimes it's a minute and a half conversation that He needs you to engage in. Engage in that minute and a half conversation with all that you got through the power that He gives you. Be faithful in the small things. Not everything's enormous in some sort of parade. Let obedience become your new normal. See, I spent so much of my life in disobedience and I became used to it. It was just part of what I did. It was Monday, it was Tuesday, it was Wednesday. And it's going to take some time. But go from that, if that's where you are today, let's go to obedience and let's allow obedience to be the new normal for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then start again on Monday. I had to come to terms with this. And I still struggle with it sometimes because sin is just one of those things we're always going to struggle with, unfortunately, till we get on the other side and finish this process of sanctification. But some of you today, like me, will need to face and make the decision. You either need to decide, do you want to be the funny man? Do you want to be the entertainer? Do you want to be the center of attention? Do you want to be who the world looks at and laughs and cuts up and admires? Is that what you want to be? Or do you want to be somebody who is glorifying your Father in heaven who has paid a great price for you? You've got to come to terms with that. Do you want to entertain and satisfy the world and your flesh? Or do you want to honor and glorify your Father in heaven? That's the choice. And you're going to need the power of God to do this one. But thank God He put it in you. It's in there. Let's see if we can work through the second one. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The second part of verse 12 says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now let's be careful. This is not describing a state of total paralysis and depression. Not what we're talking about. And if you say, well, I don't think we're supposed to fear God, well, it's time for you to start changing your thinking. Deuteronomy 10:12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Okay. There's some things from this sermon in that today. Fear the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Love him. Serve him. That's active. That's obedience. This is a direct requirement from God. Fear of the Lord is not optional. It's foundational with walking with him. Not optional, but foundational. Let's do one more. Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Remember what I said. If you think that you shouldn't fear the Lord, that's being wise in your own eyes. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Rather, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So, if we look at the Bible, should we fear the Lord? Yes. Thank you. Got one person in here heard the message. Yes, we should fear the Lord. It's fear and trembling. A healthy fear of the Lord will help us choose godly wisdom over worldly wisdom. A healthy fear of the Lord will motivate us to turn from evil things and choose the good things. Lack of fear can lead us to be casual. And I don't see anywhere in the Bible that we should be casual with our relationship with the Lord. Amen? Amen. But boy, I think we are. But aren't we casual? Chris gave me permission. Y'all get mad at him. But aren't we casual? In the world, casual? Hadn't we turned it into like a big parade? And just something that we do one day a week, my worship has been casual more than it's been serious. Let me go and check my box. Let me go because I live in the South and this is what we do on Sunday. Let me go and not even pray about it before I go. Let me go and not have my mind right before I get there. Casual. Worship should not be casual. For no other reason, it shouldn't be casual because God's in it. The sovereign Lord, the creator of all the universe, is in it. Should it be casual? No. It's not a joke. Or shouldn't be. When you don't take authority seriously, you end up living casual. In first grade, we had a gerbil as a class pet. And my teacher didn't get in the room till late, so some of us early bus riders would get in there early. And we like to play catch with the Lego blocks, the big ones. Well, that wasn't good enough one day. We thought it'd be much more fun to play catch with a gerbil that lived in the room. I had no fear for Miss Roberts. I had no fear for her authority. Somebody needed to reach in that little terrarium and grab that gerbil out so we could start throwing it. So I was happy to do that. So I reached in there and I grabbed it. We started out like you're having an egg contest. We was kind of close and we threw it. Okay, that's pretty good. Well, we can take a step back. Well, about the time that we done made it, 10, 12 feet, we were starting to get interesting and fun to throw the gerbil because it might actually drop, which is probably what we wanted more. So anyway, right when I about to throw it, Philip! And I hailed that gerbil. And whose voice called my name? Miss Roberts. And there I was with the gerbil in my hand that was never supposed to come out of the terrarium unless she was supposed to be in the room. Well, that day, between her and the principal, I got a whole new appreciation for authority. And I never once touched that gerbil again without her permission. I never even thought about it. Authority goes a long way when you respect it. And she taught me to respect authority that day. Mr. Thomas did as well. I want to give him credit for some of that. When you don't take authority seriously, you do things you shouldn't do. Let me talk to y'all just a minute. I know we are getting close, but let me. I'm afraid, and this is, I'll take some blame for this. I'm not going to take all of it, but I'll take some of it. I'm afraid that we have lost our respect and authority for God, and we're more casual because we fail to realize the magnitude of God and His power. And if you're not reading God's Word regularly, that's one way to forget His magnitude and His power. I want to take you to two instances. There's so many. There's countless instances that we could talk about right now, but I'm going to give you two that just, let's revisit God's magnitude in two little passages. Isaiah 6, 1 through 5. Isaiah sees the Lord in this passage high and lifted up. The train of God's robe fills the entire temple. Angels are covering their faces and crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Isaiah doesn't clap. Isaiah collapses on the ground just from the vision of it. Woe is me. I am undone. He saw holy and he realized wretchedness. He saw authority and he realized his position in it. Isaiah saw God and fell completely apart when he saw him. That's not casual. One of my favorite, I'm going to take you to the New Testament for the second one. I love this picture. Mark 4, 39 through 41. Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. Storm is raging. And I'm not talking about, I don't think this is like a little white cap, you know, or a little wind on the lake. I mean, the boat's fixing to break. The disciples are losing their minds. We are fixing to die. Like, this is it. And Jesus is in the back of the boat, sound asleep. Chilling in the cut. They wake him up. Jesus, we're fixing to die. It's all fixing to end right here. The whole ministry, the whole thing. The vision is fixing to pass away. He gets up. Just his words. Peace. Be still. The wind and the waves obey him. That's not somebody who I have a casual relationship with. That's powerful. The disciples just say, "Thanks, Jesus, that was pretty cool." They panic. Who is this? Who is this man that the wind and the waves listen and obey when he speaks? The disciples saw his power and they were terrified. I don't think we struggle to obey God because he's small. I think we struggle to obey him because we've made him small. In our minds and in our hearts. So here's some questions. Do we truly respect God for who he is? There's the question. Do we truly respect God for who he is? And if you do, show me in your marriages and in your relationships. Show me in your checking account, in your credit card bills. Show me in your entertainment choices. Show me in your Bible reading. Show me in your prayer time. Show me in your service. When we get to a place where we can see God rightly, we'll begin to take everything seriously. It won't be casual. When we get to this place, we begin to take our disobedience very seriously again. When we get to this place, we take our obedience very seriously again. And we will certainly take our spiritual growth seriously again. Not because we're afraid of losing salvation, losing our soul, our spirit, our place in heaven. Not because of that. But because we understand the weight of what God is doing in us and wants to do through us. And that will matter significantly more than our flesh. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not for time's sake, but I really feel like that the Lord wants verse 13 just by itself. I thought it was going to fit right here, but it's not. So next week when we come back, that's where we're going to be. We're going to be in verse 13. And I want you to do something, though, each and every one of you. I want you to read that. I want you to meditate on it this week. Because if the first part of this has discouraged you, which I hope it hasn't, I know I was a little passionate about it from time to time. I'm not going to apologize about that. But if that discouraged you at all, the hope is right here in verse 13. I'm not going to spoil the whole thing, but let's read it together. For it is God who is at work in you. Both to will and to work. So next week, make plans now to be back. We're going to talk about how God is at work to will and to work out so that we can work for our, go back to the original thing. What did it say? So that we can work out our salvation. So, Jeffrey, you and the team can come up as we close. I don't know how you should respond, but there's definitely something to respond to in God's Word today. If you found some of this to be a difficult to hear, difficult to think about doing differently, the first place that I would tell you to turn is to God in prayer. This is a great time to do that. This is a great time to turn to God in prayer. This is a great time if you need somebody to pray with you, but you don't want to come alone, it's a great time to grab somebody and come down here and get right with God and tell Him. Maybe you have been taking your relationship with God casual, and today the Holy Spirit lets you know that your relationship with Him is casual, and it's not supposed to be that way, that you need to get Him back where He needs to be. Right now is a good time to pray and ask God to do whatever it needs you need in your life to get that done. Maybe God's calling you to do something. I'm not sure what it is. But the main thing is during this moment, this last moment of worship, don't let it just be the thing standing between you and leaving. Do business with God during this moment. It may be salvation for the first time. It may be recommitment. I don't know what it is, but just do it. Be obedient right now to whatever the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. That's what I would encourage you to do. And if I can help you, in any way, just know that I'll be down front to do that. If you would, please stand as we have our time of closure and worship.